I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
3 employees and 2 work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a huge day across Scottish football. One of the dullest Old Firm games of all time ended in a 1-1 draw, leaving Rangers 6 points off the pace. It's all about transfers now. So what about Chermiti, Cornelius, Dessers, Raskin, Dahlberg, Ida, Tunetke and the rest? In the league, there were big wins for Falkirk and Dundee United, with Aberdeen on 0 points and bottom of the table. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me you have Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna.
The worst Old Firm derby in living memory. Celtic need players, Rangers need players. They have very little time to get them in. Yusuf Chermiti, Derek Cornelius could be in with Dessers and Cortez out. Sebastian Tunekte and David Datro Fofano could be
I'll
in.
I'll take your word for it.
With Yang and Adamida out. And that's before Aberdeen get rid of Shaden Morris, bring back Kevin Nisbet, Hibs chase Lyndon Dykes, your mother will chase Stephen Welsh. Another boy in your dressing room, Andy. It is manic. We have 5 hours of the window. We have 2 hours of this show. Let's get everything off your chest.
5 hours. Did I tell you?
I don't mind that.
We'll stay until 11. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's a better seat in the whole of Scotland, because I'm sitting next to Fabrizio Rogerano here.
I like it.
Who's going to give us all the info for now, 8 o'clock. Incomings, outcomings. I'm sure there's going to be loads of movement over the next couple of hours. And the best part about it is, it can take our mind off what we watched yesterday.
Exactly. Or can it? 0141-951-1025. They're actually not on until 11 o'clock, but we could be. That's the crucial thing, because the list of talking points
you tonight... You said that to Daz and Marv last Tuesday night, and look what happened.
Yeah, he didn't take that too well. But the list of talking points is long as your arm, so dive in on whatever one tickles your fancy. Yesterday, the 0-0 draw, how bad was it? Who was responsible for making it so bad? Was anything about it not bad? You can let us know. Within that, there were the other storylines, of course. The personnel, no Nicholas Raskin. Russell Martin saying he didn't hear the Nicholas Raskin chants. He got booed by some of the Rangers fans after the game. I don't think it was the type of performance that will make Celtic fans feel any better about the way their squad sits at the moment either. So if there is any fallout, 0141-951-1025. Get the calls in on that. It is transfer deadline day, and one of the most interesting deadline days I can remember. So to fans of all teams, what are you hoping to be done between now and 11 o'clock? And what have you made of what's been done so far? Celtic fans, would it be safe to say you might be panicking a little bit, angry, frustrated? Rangers fans, maybe you are as well, but possibly for different reasons. And everyone else, that's the beauty of deadline day. Everybody can get involved. What are you hoping for between now and 11 o'clock? And what have you made of what you've got so far? Get your calls in. If there is anything else from the weekend, please do feel free. 0141-951-1025. These two will set the scene with your result of the weekend, please.
I'll kick us off with Falkirk. Producer John will be happy, but listen, if it's your first top flight win in over 15 years, I think you deserve it. I thought Aberdeen started the game well, obviously a huge turning point in the Nicky Devlin red card, but for me, Falkirk were excellent in the second half, and then it's their first win in 15 years in the SPL.
I'll go for Dundee United. Big derby win at Dane yesterday. An interesting lineup again, not a Scot in the starting side for Jim Goodwin, and I bet the United fans couldn't care less. 2-0, they're going well.
Goal of the weekend?
I'll stick with Motherwell. Manny Longello absolutely flying. And you've got to say, carbon copy his finish against Rangers. A really difficult technique, that sort of one hip height where you have to get your hip and your foot over the ball to keep it low. And that's 3 league goals for Manny Longello. Not a bad signing for a left back.
And one in the cup.
And won the cup for no competition. Yes.
We've all been crying out for somebody with a left foot to score a goal. Agreed. We really have. I'm going to dip into the Championship. Eamon Brophy for Morton against St Johnson at McDermott Park. If you haven't seen it, go on Twitter. Long range, boom, 1-0.
Howler of the weekend.
Finally, a refereeing decision that we can test. We can contest, sorry. I'm going to Easter Road. I'm not putting any blame on Matthew McDermott, but the use of VAR not to correct what was a clear handball and a clear penalty for Hibs.
Well, if you agree or disagree, again, dive in, give us a call. Roger, your howler of the weekend. I'm interested here.
Rangers and Celtic, a dreadful game of football. Mrs. Hannah had a big birthday yesterday, Gordon, and we had an arrangement that I could watch the first half on the TV and listen to the second half on Super Scoreboard while in the car. And after 20 minutes, I was shouting, right, come on, let's go, we better be early, come on.
Yeah, it wasn't the best, was it? And what about, finally, your top man then, top performer? Let's finish on a positive.
Well, I very nearly gave it to Derek McInnes, because for the third time in 4 league games, he has made substitutions at the right time, the right personnel that's changed the game and swung it in Hart's favour. But I'm going to go for the individual. I'm going to go for Kizeridis. He was introduced at half time for Craig Halkett, change of shape, change of personnel. And he made the difference clearly for Hearts in the second half. He gets the assist with a lovely ball in for Claudio Braga, Rodgers' favourite player. He then comes up with the win in the last minute to secure 3 points for Hearts.
I'll go back to the Dundee derby. Ivan Dolcek. He looks a really, really good signing by Jim Goodwin. Croatian attacking midfielder, stroke winger. 4 goals in 3 league games, I think he's now got, Gordon.
Top scorer in the Premiership.
Yeah, he's going really well.
Okay, 01419511025. Get your calls in right now, whether it's the football at the weekend, transfer deadline day, whatever you want. And as if you could need any more, all this week you can win a pair of tickets to Saturday at the Ladbrokes Air Gold Cup, which is happening from the 18th of 20th September, right up your street, Roger Hannah. Spandau Ballet's Martin Kemp DJing after the racing on the Friday. George Bowie and the GBX, that's more for Andy on the Saturday. So book your tickets at air-racecourse.co.uk. But if you want to win a place, give us a call tonight. That's it. Just make a point to the panel and you go in the hat. Jamie is going to fly in off the traps with the first call tonight. Jamie, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing? Good. How are you?
Yes, right, Jamie, all good. What made you call?
It's about the Old Firm game yesterday, firstly. Now, because I'm in Birmingham, I had a lot of my friends watch the game and they said, what was that? What was going on? I couldn't have an answer. I was like, it's an embarrassment for Scottish football yesterday, because the stats showed itself up, because there was no attacking play for either team and there was no creativity at all. It just was shocking.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, I don't let your friends south of the border lecture you, because there are plenty of bad games down there as well, and I've seen some of them over the weekend. But as part of a wider point, Roger, I think Jamie's probably right. I mean, how bad are we talking?
Yeah, listen, they look two teams bereft of confidence. They look two teams who were coming back from dismal European results. They look two teams in desperate need of deadline day reinforcements. The players, and Andy will be able to tell you how accurate this is, the players look terrified to make the mistake that might lose their team the game. There was no attacking adventure. Many times did you see, you know, Brendan Rodgers likes to play kind of what he calls front foot football. Many times it's Celtic turn and play the ball backwards. Rangers...
Would you put that down to quickly? Because there's been lots of talk. I see people saying, I mean, obviously Brendan Rodgers is the manager, so he takes the flak. It kind of makes me wonder, he can't possibly be telling them to turn back in those areas, can he?
Listen, I could get through the team here. Anthony Nelson, decent enough game. It's not as good as Alistair Johnson. And you saw it. There was a little snapshot that summed up Celtic for me. At one stage, Callum McGregor spun in the middle of the park and knocked a ball into a position where he expected the right back to be, where Alistair Johnson would have been. And Anthony Nelson was 5 or 10 yards deeper and didn't get to the ball, and the ball went out for a Rangers throw-in. And that sort of summed up Celtic for me. So many of their players just weren't quite at it on the front foot. Kieran Tierney off again after 70 minutes. Engels won't do at the minute. Nygren was pushed forward when he's better in that role that Nygren was playing. Dyson Maeda looks bereft of confidence. He looks like a guy who started the year playing with Jota or Kyogo and Nicholas Kuhn, and now he's playing with Balak Wisha, who I'm going to cut slack because he was thrown in for his first game, probably didn't know his teammates' names, didn't play well, but you would expect more of him. He's now playing with him and Nigrin out of position, or Forrest and Yang through the week. That's affecting Maida as well, and they just looked, they looked a shadow of the team they can be.
You're going to surprise us. Did you enjoy it? Was there anything you took away from it?
No, I thought it was two really poor teams on the day. I think everyone that's watched it have been coming out with the, you know, the same conclusion. Worst old firm game they've ever seen. Two average teams, really poor quality.
I think it was
quality.
That, by the way, because it's an easy phrase to throw out. Just, I don't know if you've kept a list of your worst ones.
I can't remember one in terms of quality that was worse. And do you know what? Not even just quality, but in terms of entertainment, intensity.
Yeah.
Because even when these games have had poor quality, they've always been full of intensity, full of tackles,
and mistakes.
Blood and
mistakes can
and
lead,
mistakes.
Mistakes can lead to goals, though. Sometimes,
but even
I mean?
Mistakes from an entertainment standpoint, I mean, there was just nothing. It was almost like a training game played in front of 50,000 people.
Here's one for the kids, Andy, because you know I'm not a fan of XG, expected goals. But there's a Twitter site, XG Philosophy, started a few years ago when this became a phenomenon.
Half a million followers it's got.
Half a million followers. The young team follow it. The lowest expected goals on record in the history of XG. Rangers 0.16, Celtic 0.17. It's not just us that's saying it was a historically dreadful game. The stats back it up.
Well, listen, the eye test told us that. The stats back us up. I'm actually going to give you another two. Rangers 0 shots on target for the full 90 minutes, and Celtic 0 shots total in the first half for the first time since 2017.
Other than that, Jamie,
an expense on Celtic's transfers since 23-24, and if you look at it, including the Champions League from last year and the SPL, what they've been through, there's an expenditure of $85 million. Now, how can Celtic not push the boat out a little bit? Because it looks like that they're spending more on Tierney's wages than we know of.
Do you know what I'm going to do, Jamie? I'm going to leave your question hanging because I want the listeners to answer it. We're going to take a look at transfers very soon and see where we lie with a few hours left. So answer Jamie's point for us, will you? What is happening there with Celtic's transfer business? Let's move on quickly to Donald and bring him in the first part as well. Donald.
Hello there. Nice to be on again. Andy and Roger.
Hey,
Don. I was thinking, am I the one to praise So Martin? Now, that kind of goes against the grain of a lot of Rangers fans. I think he changed things yesterday. I think he probably looked at the Celtic team and thought, if we go toe-to-toe with them, then we're opening ourselves up. So he went a bit defensively. I think putting Asgard on McGregor. Always a big fan of McGregor's, even though I'm a Rangers fan. The heartbeat of the Celtic team. McGregor had a very quiet game. I think there's seven Russell Martin players there started the game. I think bringing in Tavernier again shows courage that he will admit if he's got it wrong. All right, I think maybe it should have happened a couple of games ago. He brought Tavernier in. Tavs as a posted player for Rangers, you know. He said his critics have never been one of them. No, he's not the greatest defender. If he was a great defender, he would have been Scottish football. So, I just think that hopefully it's we can. The only thing is, last year we showed we could turn up against Celtic. So it's
Let's put it like you've made some interesting points, Donald. Let's put them to Andy and Roger. Praise for Russell Martin, that'll never catch on.
Yeah. Oh, listen, a big factor of the criticism that came Russell Martin's way is the fact that he's been stubborn in his time at Rangers. He's been stubborn in his time at previous clubs. And there was a question, would it always be Russell Martin's way or no way? And you've got to say, I thought they changed yesterday. I thought on the ball they were a wee bit more direct. But obviously the real improvement came through off the ball. Rangers have looked extremely leaky and extremely fragile since the start of the season. And I thought they'd done a much better job yesterday off the ball. I thought they pressed Celtic well. I thought they forced turnovers in interesting areas of the pitch. But the fact of the matter is their quality was nowhere near enough to actually go and win the game or hurt Celtic. But listen, Gordon, we're praising Rangers for doing the basics and working hard. But the fact of the matter is, we're praising them for doing that because they've not done that in nine of the previous 10 games.
It's also quite a delicate balance for Russell Martin, because if you're accused by everyone else of not being willing to change, and then you do change, you understand why people like Donald would want to praise that. However, on the other hand, does that then make this game a bit of an outlier? Because the things that are the sort of the success, if you can call it that, that the Rangers had was nothing to do with what Russell Martin's trying to build. Does that make sense? You know, we've spent months talking about his way and his style and building, and none of that was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of other stuff that they're getting praised for. So where, what did they do going forward ultimately, I think, is what I'm trying to ask.
Well, listen, in terms of off the ball, I think their plan and their structure yesterday is going to be completely different in our domestic games.
That's
because
what I mean.
Other teams aren't going to build the way Celtic build, and Rangers aren't going to go and press, you know, Motherwell, St Mirren, Dundee United man for man. But in terms of how hard they worked, their willingness to go and win the ball back, their willingness to run back to defend, that's now they've set the standard for that. But in terms of on the ball, they clearly have to play so much better than they do yesterday. And again, it's going to be almost reverting back to what it was before in terms of more build up play, more possession based, but clearly has to be better than what it's been.
What do you think, Roger? Praise for Russell Martin for changing, says Donald.
It seems that Rangers are getting a bit of praise and being cut a bit of slack because they ran about a bit and they hadn't run about a bit in previous games. I can't get away from the statistic that they didn't have an effort on goal. Last season, Barry Ferguson's team scored 3 at Celtic Park. Phillips Clement's team scored 3 at Ibrox and 3 at Hampden against Celtic. Now they've been praised for a performance where they didn't have a shot on goal. Rangers have a long way to go. They've played 4 league games. They haven't won a league game. They remain 6 points off Celtic and Hearts. They have a long way to go. Mayovsky's in. It looks as if Shermite will be in as well, possibly Cornelius as well tonight. They've got a few out the door. Russell Martin said he couldn't wait for the window to close because that will be the group of players that he's left with. There'll be no doubt, there'll be no dubiety. They'll all be pulling in the same direction. But there are still question marks because Nico Raskin will still be in the building, and how do they repair that relationship?
So Donald, do you think there was stuff to build on? You're still 6 points behind going into the break, but you feel better now than you did before the game?
Absolutely. Does Andy and Roger think that 2 Celtic centre-halves had a good game?
In terms of defending the box, I thought Liam Scales done very well. I thought there was a couple of instances where he was a little bit loose in possession, played a couple of straight passes into Dyson Maeda, one got intercepted by Diamandi. The other one, Giga, did well to be front foot and nick the ball off of Dyson Maeda. So I thought there was a couple of sort of shaky moments on the ball, but in terms of defending his box, I thought Liam Scales done extremely well yesterday. I thought Cameron Carter-Vickers was slightly more quieter in the other end. Which is not rare we say that, because quite often we've seen his best performances in these games. But I thought 2 Celtic centre-halves done fine, as did Rangers.
I thought Scales got a lot of first contacts. You know, those long throws from Tavernier into the box, the outswinging corners for Conor Barn. A lot of the time it was Scales who got first contact onto them and got them away. He also had one really good block. That time Gassama got outside Kieran Tierney and fizzed one in. It was Scales that slid in first because Mayovsky was right behind them, ready to convert.
Thank you, Donald, for his call. He's in the hat for the tickets to the races. So is Jamie before him. And when we return, we are going to give you the very latest on all the transfer news that you need to hear. So listen carefully and then let us know what you're making of your team's business. We'll do that next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday are here. Give us a call. We're talking the game yesterday, the transfer window. There is so much happening, so let's not hang about any longer, as we always do on these days, twice a year. Massive day in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard calendar. It's the only 2 days in the calendar that we dust down the Clyde One Super Scoreboard transfer HQ and let Andrew McLean sit in it. I don't know, no one knows where it is. It's a secret location, but he's there at the moment. Andrew, how are you?
Yeah, all good.
Yellow
all
tie good. On, etc, etc.
Oh, of course, good. Got to be done on a
yes,
day like this.
Absolutely, he's probably in his bedroom in his underwear, so I'll leave that with you. But on a serious note, Andrew, what about today's business then? Let's try and bring us up to speed. Let's go Celtic first. I think it's safe to say that's got more being said about it. Where are we?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about that forward line and the attacking options for Celtic, isn't it? Brendan Rodgers has made that abundantly clear over the last few weeks. A lot of talk about Adamida going to Swansea, Yang going to Birmingham. Both appear to be in limbo right now because Celtic haven't got those replacements in yet, with just a few hours left to go in the transfer window. So much so that Yang's move to Birmingham looks to be off, and he's on his way back to Glasgow, as Birmingham don't feel they can complete the move before their deadline. Celtic then had a number one striking target in Kasper Dahlberg. It looks as if he's favouring a move to Ajax instead, so you wonder where they go next. Reports now they've made a loan approach for David Datro Fofana, the Chelsea striker. He had a loan spell at Turkey last season. He was at Burnley the season before that. There will be some positive news for Celtic supporters, though, in that it looks as if they are going to wrap up a deal for Sebastian Tunepke, who is a Hammarby winger, Tunisian international. They've had a couple of bids rejected for him, but it now looks a deal in the region of £5.2 million has been agreed, so that's taken a big step forward and should be sealed before tonight's deadline.
Wow, Celtic fans. Adamida still not confirmed at Swansea, because there will be no Kasper Dahlberg, and we don't quite know if Celtic will get any striker or if who that person is, so give us your thoughts there. You must have some. Tunepke, though, looks like that fee's been accepted and he could be on his way in, but Yang still not allowed to leave, so Celtic probably looking for another winger. My goodness, what do you make of that? What about Rangers then, Andrew? What's the headline from Ibrox today?
Yeah, well, the headline is Rangers are going to spend big money tonight. Youssef Chermiti, as you mentioned earlier on, he's been at Rangers training ground today. They're expected to announce that signing for a fee of around £8 million. That is big, big money. Rangers haven't spent a fee like that since Tore André Flo joined 25 years ago. So that just shows how big the outlay is for the Everton striker, who really hasn't made any sort of impact there after joining a couple of years ago for £15 million. So it really is an intriguing move, that one. There's also Derek Cornelius, who looks as if he's going to come in as well, a Canadian international, a left-sided centre-back. He's on his way in from Marseille. It looks to be a loan deal that could be made permanent next summer. In terms of outgoing, Cyril Dessers will leave. Russell Martin told us that yesterday after that draw with Celtic. He's heading to Panathinaikos, but bigger news than that for Rangers fans. It looks as if Nico Raskin is staying. So much uncertainty around his future after being left out of the game yesterday, not training with the first team on Friday, but he's expected to still be a Rangers player beyond the deadline. You'd expect that there'll need to maybe be some clear the air talks with Russell Martin once he's back from international duty.
Okay, again, Rangers fans, what a fee that is. £8 million, I've actually heard it's rising to 10 potentially. So are you comfortable spending that type of money on a player that's not maybe had too much of a track record in recent seasons? Do let us know. Nico Raskin, Cyril Dessers, all the rest of them. Calls in. Anything else, any other business across the league worth keeping an eye on, Andrew?
Well, Andy's set to get a new teammate, and Stephen Welsh, the Celtic central defender, is going to join on loan. Aberdeen are close to securing a deal to bring Kevin Nisbet back. He, of course, had that successful loan spell last season. It looks like a permanent deal is going to be agreed for him to return to Pittodrie. An interesting one as well with Hibs. They're exploring a loan deal for Scotland international Lyndon Dykes, but they do face competition for his signature. And just remember, there is a strange quirk to today's transfer window as well, because the deadline is 11 p.m. in Scotland, despite the fact that quite a few different countries have brought their deadline forward to 7 o'clock, like in England as well. So you wonder if maybe a few players might find themselves stuck after that deadline is closed at 7 o'clock, could potentially open up a path to Scotland later on in the day.
Thank you very much to Andrew. He'll keep us updated as the show progresses. Let's bring in Bob, who's a Celtic fan. Bob, listening to that, talking about, yes, Tunepke coming in, but still no striker. Dolberg not happening. Adamida in limbo, all that sort of stuff. How do you feel as a Celtic fan with 4.5 hours remaining?
Hi, thanks, Gordon and Roger and, Roger and Andy. Hi, there. Welcome, guys. It's just total bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. I just don't understand where my club's at, you know. You see the progress we made last season, you know. I thought there was a mindset changing, you know, when they went and you know, interrupted Brendan's holiday and they brought him back under the, you know, there'll be changes and different stuff like that. So this whole fiasco, and that's what it is, for the start of the season, you know. We've not replaced Kyogo, Kuhn, Jota. You tell me any team in Britain that wouldn't be suffering without these guys. But the biggest concern that I have is that Brendan's body language over the last number of weeks has really showed, and I believe that it's now transformed itself into the players. Because I have never seen Celtic in three games pass the ball side and back in all my life, you know. Now, why is that?
Roger, let's put the first point of that to you, because is there anyone out there who isn't genuinely kind of taken aback now by... You know, listen, I hear a lot of extreme calls, I see the extreme tweets, I sit next to Extreme Keevans, as he's called, and it's sort of in my nature to always think, I bet it's not that bad, I bet things... But my goodness, to be at this stage for Celtic at 6:30 on deadline day is remarkable.
Can you imagine 2 minutes ago in the Keevans household when Andrew McLean uttered the words, Yang's transfer is off and he's coming back up the road, Hugh will have put the old wireless out the kitchen window. He'll be furious. Bob, I said at the start of the season, when we were asked to do predictions, first Saturday of the season, I predicted Celtic would win the league. The biggest danger to Celtic's title ambitions this season is Celtic, because they have allowed players to go, both in terms of quality and quantity, and as we sit here at 6:30 on transfer deadline night, they have not been adequately replaced.
And just let me tell you, breaking right now, Swansea have announced the signing of Adamida. So it's now not a case that he can't go until a striker comes in, because he's gone. We are delighted to announce the signing of striker Adamida from Celtic, subject to international clearance. So forget replacing Kuhn.
Hugh has gone back into the street and he's picked up the wireless, he's brought it back into the kitchen.
Listen, I know, but see, the thing is, whether you think Adamida's good, bad or indifferent...
Well, this is the point to make. All joking aside, this is the point I'm making to Bob, that at the time these predictions, you know, at the start of this year, Celtic had Kyogo, Maeda and Kuhn. And when Kyogo went, Jota came back. So they had Jota, Maeda and Kuhn. And Adamida as backup. Now they're in a situation where Daizen Maeda is probably going to have to play centre forward, backed up by Shin Yamada, Johnny Kenny, Callum Osmond. The wingers, now it looks as if, well, Balakwish is in, played yesterday, Tunekte on the other side, with Yang sent back up the road from Birmingham, and James Forrest. Brendan Rodgers has already expressed his dissatisfaction at the situation. Bob is the latest in a lengthy line of Celtic supporters to express his dissatisfaction at the situation. And let me tell you, and Andy will back me up in this, players are just the same as managers and supporters. Players know when a squad is weakened in terms of quality and in terms of quantity. This is a squad which has failed to score a goal at home to Kairat, away to Kairat, and away to Rangers. They look a shadow of the team that won the league.
Are you surprised, Andy, at this situation Celtic find themselves in? The beauty of the window, maybe it all changes in 4 hours, but you would understand why fans might find that hard to imagine at the moment.
Yeah, and I'm surprised for a couple of reasons. First reason being, we've had callers on this show for the last, what feels like, months on end, saying that they've not replaced Kyogo, they've not replaced Kuhn, they've not got enough quality or quantity in the door to help them qualify for the Champions League, to go and win the league again. And I can't believe, given my second reason, let's rewind 12 months ago when we had the exact same calls for Celtic callers, and then on transfer deadline day, Celtic spent in excess of 20 million on Adamida, Arne Engels and Austin Trusty, that they're going to do the exact same thing again, where they're going to leave it to deadline day and either overpay, panic buy, or don't get anyone in.
It does look more like the third of those options at the moment.
Well,
though,
at this moment in time, it does, because it seems as if the ones that were coming in was Dahlberg, who by all accounts looks as if he's on his way to Ajax. And now we're just seeing late reports of David Datro Fofana with 4.5 hours for the transfer deadline to shut. I find it remarkable what's happening at Celtic at the moment, given fans, pundits, journalists, neutrals all knew that this situation should have been cleared up weeks ago.
Celtic have minimum 8 more European games to play. They've the defence of the league, they've got the defence of the League Cup, they've got a Scottish Cup to play for. Even just in terms of numbers, Brendan Rodgers has said, used the word arithmetic earlier this season. Even just in terms of numbers, they look weaker than they did last season. And no one...
Well, it's now not even close, is it? You know, there's not even a debate to be had there on that front.
Celtic supporters come on and say, I've no idea how they got into this situation. Can I just add my voice to that? Because I have no idea how they got into that situation. Because as well, 17 million for Nicholas Kuhn, 6 million for Adam Ida, the money for Frimpong, the money for Gannon Doak, they've got a bit of money back for O.
I was going to say.
Always sold yesterday for £24 million. This was the guy that Celtic supporters came on complaining when Mark Lawwell found this player and brought him to the football club. Didn't get a chance at the football club, chucked out the door. He's now a £24 million centre forward.
Thank you, Bob.
At a time when Celtic can't get a centre forward.
Thank you, Bob. Neil is in Newbury. Do you have any idea, Neil, how Celtic ended up in this situation?
Aye, of course I do. And I think pretty much a vast majority of supporters as well. It's the problem sitting in the boardroom. We went into, you know, between the summer transfer window last year and now, we had a much stronger squad, and since then we lost Jota. He's injured, not his fault. Brilliant to have him back. Can't wait to have him back on the pitch. We had Kuhn, we had Kyogo, and even somebody like Ben Doak, who at some point during the window Celtic were talking about bringing back on loan. And it's just, what surely to gods, when we went out in the Champions League in Kazakhstan, the board should have said, right, this is it. We need to do something here. This is ridiculous. We're going to the Europa League. And the teams that we're going up against Roma, we're going up against two Serie A teams with that squad. And then we find out today that Yang is on his way home. All right, fair enough, it looks like that lad from Hammond is coming in. And we've got Balakrisha, and we've got the lad from Uruguay, Marcellus. And it's just, I'm sat and watched all day players that were supposed to be coming to us heading off to other clubs. We still don't know what's happened with Adam Ida. He's not been mentioned today.
Well, he's gone. He's gone, Neil.
He has
confirmed,
gone.
Confirmed, yep.
I haven't seen his name crop up once today.
Just confirmed in the last few minutes. Away to Swansea.
Okay. So there we go. Who's our striker to replace him? But, oh, Johnny Kenny wasn't even on the bench for the Glasgow Derby at the weekend. It's like the 90s all over again, except with Filthy Rich. The only thing that's missing is the club going out of existence. It's just like the 90s. We're scrambling around looking for loan players for the Premiership. It's shocking. I wouldn't be surprised if this is not full for the Europa League games. I would not be surprised in the least. The fans are going to vote with their feet.
Well, shocking, says Neil. He sounds pretty exasperated. How would you sum up your feelings? Do let us know. Let me tell you about this before we move on. You can enter now for your chance to win £551,000. You can get 100 entries into the draw by texting BANK to 61025. Texts are £10 plus your standard network rate. For 5 entries, you can text YES to 61025, and those texts are £250 plus your standard network rate. You can call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only. And the online entry and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are at makemeawinner.co.uk. Don't miss out, because lines close 5 p.m. Friday. £551,000 by texting YES to 61025.
taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. We're just waiting patiently for any breaking transfer news. It looks like Chirmiti, Yusuf Chirmiti's passed his Rangers medical, so this is getting closer. I think we've known all day that it was going to be happening since he was pictured, or filmed, I should say, driving in to the Rangers training centre. It feels like Celtic's lack of business so far is what's getting you going on the phones. John is on. How would you sum it up, John?
Well, where do I start? How you doing, Gordon, Andy and Roger?
Okay, John.
I'm just flabbergasted. I think, like most Celtic fans who have been sort of watching TV or online all day, just waiting for something concrete to come from all these rumours. Obviously, Hallberg. As soon as Ajax came into it, everybody knew that was it. Well, that's exactly where he was going to go. But my main point is why. And even there's a friend of mine who's a Rangers fan, it was actually him that highlighted this, is why Celtic have never pushed on from a position of strength. If anything, they've gone backwards. And even the team are now playing backwards.
I think
in the last season, sorry, God, we're miles ahead, no miles ahead, but there was a gap there. Of course there was a gap. And we were financially set and everything. But now, we're the complete opposite. We look like a shambles. We're not signing anybody. And what happens if Maeda gets injured? With nothing to back up.
That's before you even consider if Maeda's form is even going to be any good as well, Roger. Because it's almost
two things.
Certainly not going to be as good as last season.
Talking earlier on, the first thing I said was, what happens if Maeda gets injured in that Kilmarnock pitch? Or in any pitch? You know, after the international break. And I saw earlier on, and this is a chain, Alexander Isak goes to Liverpool. Newcastle replace him with Johan Visser, whose deal was going through about 5 o'clock just as I was leaving to come to the Super Scoreboard tonight. And I thought, what happens if Brentford pick up the phone to Celtic at 5:10 tonight and say, we'll give you £25 million for Dyson Maeda? You know, the player would be desperate to go and probably quadruple his wages. How do you stop Dyson Maeda going at that stage? And then you've nobody. I'm really surprised, John, the way it's panned out, because way at the start of the year, someone told me that the Celtic hierarchy were unhappy at the way the last summer transfer window ended. They felt that some of the hierarchy felt they perhaps overpaid for Engels, Ida and Trusty. And they wouldn't let it happen again. So when the last season ended, and correct me, John, you know better than me, you correct me, after that cup final, Celtic knew they would need two left backs. They knew they hadn't replaced Kyogo. They knew, probably knew quite well it was a danger they would lose Nicholas Kuhn. And knew they were going to be light on numbers elsewhere. And yet, here we are at 10:50, 4 hours and 10 minutes away from the window, and they only solved the left back conundrum the other day with, you know, a Uruguayan on loan from the Argentinian league. They only get Balak Wisha in hours or a couple of days before the Old Firm game yesterday. They're going to the Swedish league to get their other winger tonight. Interesting to see whether history shows they've overpaid for Tonetke as well. And not only is Kyogo gone, but Adam Ida's now gone, and there isn't a striker in the door.
That's what's remarkable, Andy, or why this feels different. Because John and other Celtic fans quite often will phone this show and say, we do this all the time. But what I think that usually means is that bit about when you're strong, can you kick on again? Can you find those marginal gains? Can you be more competitive in Europe? And I think what we've all admitted is that's tough. See, for Celtic to then keep going further and further in the Champions League by adding more and more, that's hard. Now we're talking about a transfer window that's got Celtic fans fearing for
anyone.
Domestic success and everything. This is not about a failure to move forward. This is about trying to stop yourself going backwards.
We've asked the questions of why that's happened. Are they waiting for the right man? Are they waiting to see if they go through in the Champions League? Are they waiting until before the Old Firm game? And as Roger just says, we're now at 10:50 and none of these have been answered. And still no one's in the door.
But it's also getting worse.
And it's getting worse because people are leaving. So I was just about to say, it's not even just about you know, Celtic try to progress, Celtic try to add quality, they're actually woefully short in quantity. They don't have enough players in certain areas of the field. And do you know what's the most alarming part for me, Gordon? We'll have fans phoning in about all the time. Brendan Rodgers got asked about it in press conference. Callum McGregor's actually referencing it in interviews. A guy who never talks about off the field issues with Celtic, and every player will tell you, when you go into a new season and you have loads of hope and you have loads of expectation, if you're a good player, you want good players at the football club because you know they can help you. And every Celtic player will be waiting for that help, that one bit of quality to come in and help them for their quest to Champions League, for the quest to win the league again. And even they're just waiting to, yeah, where's this next player coming in?
Roger, it feels like tonight Celtic fans are longing for the days when their biggest fear was that they were standing still.
Yeah.
This is not even close to standing still.
I mean, we've had a lot of really good sound bites through the early weeks of the season from Brendan Rodgers, and one of them was, if Celtic want a guy in here to maintain things, then I'm not that guy. I want to drive things forward. Well, at the minute, Celtic aren't even maintaining things. The squad is thinner and down on quality compared to last season. That's been proved by the defeat to Qaira Almaty, which have cost them an awful lot of money. They're now looking at four home Europa League games. No disrespect to the opposition, but it's nothing nearly as glamorous as the four home Champions League games that Qaira Almaty got, including Real Madrid going to Kazakhstan. So that will cost them in terms of the packages they'll sell to supporters, and their inability, whoever's fault it was, whether it's the recruitment department, whether it's the people that do the deals, whether it's the people that write the cheques, whoever's fault it is, it really has come back to bite Celtic this summer.
Mo is on the other line. Thank you to John. What's your take on it all, Mo?
Hi, panel. Thanks for having me on. I just want to kind of pick up and potentially even answer a couple of points that were raised by previous callers, and a point that was raised by the board, by the panel, sorry. So, for me, it's pretty clear why Celtic are operating the way that they're operating at the moment. And in my opinion, it's complacency merged with regression. So at Celtic, we seem to have a more of a reactive approach rather than a proactive approach. Now, I'll give you a couple of examples of that. And one is potentially conjecture based on what I'm hearing. And we've also got historical examples as well. Now, again, I don't know if this is true or not, but the deal for Kasper Dolberg was all agreed or verbally agreed on Friday. Celtic agreed an £8.5 million deal for Dolberg. The contract and the wages were apparently all agreed. When it came time to submitting the written offer, Celtic actually had reduced that from 8.5 million euros to 7.9 million euros. And what's Anderlecht going to do? They're going to tell Celtic to do one, basically. And now, basically, what's happening is Dolberg is now on his way to Ajax. Now, the other examples that I want to kind of highlight is Brendan's first season. Now, as we mentioned on a previous call, you know, we enticed Brendan to come back. You know, there's this project. We're looking to build Celtic into this certain club. We need to progress. We need to build. But that summer, we signed players such as Marco Tilio. We signed Yang. We signed Odin Holm. We signed Kwon, the other South Korean boy. And in addition to last summer, when as being pointed out, we signed Ida, Engels and Trusty all in the last day. Now, that to me shows it's a reactive approach to try and build the team rather than a proactive approach, such as clubs like Bruges or clubs like Ajax and clubs in Portugal that seem to have this model of a certain transfer policy which Celtic are either unwilling or can't adopt.
Andy?
Do you know what? I was just listening to you, Mo, and you're talking about complacency, and we're talking about the lack of incomings for Celtic. Do you know what's almost as baffling? The fact that Celtic accept a fee for Adam Ida 7 days ago, and it's been put on hold till they can get a replacement, Celtic have accepted a fee for Yang from Birmingham, and again it's been put on hold till they get a replacement. It's been
and
a complete
either, and now either there isn't and a replacement.
So now it's then got to 4 hours before, and I mean that is eventually now a Swansea player. We still don't know the Yang situation, so we don't even know if Yang's going to be a Celtic player come past 11 o'clock. It's just been a complete and utter mismanagement for Celtic, and I honestly can't comprehend how it's even got to this stage. Celtic have been linked with players this full transfer window. You know, Jacob Brim for Go Ahead Eagles, yeah, bidding 1 million, 2 million. Go Ahead Eagles have said all along they want £5 million. Doesn't end up getting done. 2 weeks down the line, they then go to the next transfer target, who is Balakwisha, who they pay £5 million for. I wish I was more privy to what's actually happening within Celtic, but I just don't know what's going on.
And I wonder if it will ever become public what has gone on this summer, because I've said in the show a few times, I said a minute ago when John was on, I think, whose fault is it? Is it the fault of the recruitment department? Are they not coming up with adequate targets? Is it the fault of the people who get the deals done? Conjecture. I don't know whether there's anything in that story of, you know, it was agreed at 8.5 and then the written deal at 7.5. I don't know if there's anything in that at all. But, you know, is it the fault of people doing deals? Are the deals getting done and then the people writing the checks don't want to write the checks?
It's likely to be a combination of all.
But I just wonder, Brendan Rodgers so far this summer, Gordon, has had a lot of excellent sound bites, as I've said. And if he is dissatisfied come 11:05 tonight, I just wonder if we'll find out where these deals broke down and why.
What I'd give for a live press conference for Brendan Rodgers right now.
Try and phone him. You'll have his number, surely.
But no.
A man of your standing in the game doesn't have Brendan Rodgers' number. I refuse. Let's see that phone. I refuse to believe that.
We're losing that phone, won't bother.
Anyway, thank you to Mo, who's in the hat for the tickets to the races as well. Let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, a bit of light relief on deadline day. 01419511025 for Beat the Pundit. You have to call before 7. Still, no one has won one of the new Beat the Pundit coins.
No way.
Don't think so. I think the guy was going for it last week and ended up losing heavily. But anyway, we'll play it. Give us a call.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday are here. Don't worry, you didn't miss any transfer updates during the break. Nothing breaking, no scarfs above the head just yet. Still waiting. You're desperate, aren't you, Andy Halliday? You're hoping for
something live. I just want one more.
Breaking.
I like
the
one that you gave us. I want at least one more.
He wants to stay on until we get one, like a sort of transfer golden goal type.
Well,
arrangement.
If we stay on, we could get five, because I'm expecting a lot more outgoings and incomes.
Are you on the night feeds on a Monday?
No, Tuesday.
That's fine.
You know what would be the best? You know what would be epic? Yellow Bar and Sky. Team X makes a bid for Motherwell midfielder Andy Halliday while you're sitting here. How good would that be?
That would be a surprise. What I would really like, I think one more bad piece of Celtic transfer news and Hugh Keevans might storm the studio.
Then it is 11 o'clock.
I could honestly see it. I just
there's nobody to pick him up. He can't storm anything.
He's been walking down here since 6. So he'll be here by 8.
He'll be here by Wednesday.
Walking back here alongside Yang.
His hush puppy's tied up extra tight and he's on his way. Anyway, let's play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. A bit of fun to lighten the serious discussion on the transfer deadlines. Andy Halliday and Roger Hanna are tough to beat, but it doesn't stop people trying to take them on, and that's what I like. Stuarts and Clarkson, how are you, Stuart?
Not bad, how are you?
Not bad. Have you ever played before?
No.
All right, what I really want to know is, if you win, please tell me you're going to take one of our new Beat the Pundit coins that we're now giving away, because everybody just keeps still choosing the sign ball.
Yeah, I will.
Good, he's pressured him into that.
That's the right decision, Stuart. Well done.
Dennis Elliott wanted it, but
agreed to be whatever. You can still have the same ball, Stuart. Don't worry. If it is the blue side of the coin, it will be Andrew Halliday. If it's the red side, it will be Roger Hanna. And it is Roger Hanna.
Come on, I'm choked for a game.
Have you not played?
I played once.
I forgot because you
is that,
start on
is that what you
one.
Said to the manager this morning?
Chapped at the door. I forgot, because you're in minus one this season as well.
Yeah, I've only played once.
Minus one game.
Right, okay then. All the best, Roger. Stuart, I've given
Cheers,
him
Stuart.
Something else in his ear so he can't hear what's going on. You have 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. Pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
Right, let's do it then. 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts Now, name any two Scottish teams with Athletic in their name.
Dunfermline and... Pass.
In what year did Anthony Stokes arrive at Celtic and Alexei Eremenko at Kilmarnock on deadline day?
2018.
What animals on the Ross County club crest?
Deer.
Which side play at 80 Firhill Road?
Motherwell.
Excluding caretakers, who was the shortest serving Rangers manager? Oh, just guess one. Too late, he's passed it. Never mind. Roger Hanna, can you hear us?
Yes, got you. But the BG's there. Greatest hits.
Is that up your street, is it?
Yeah, don't mind that. Yeah, never mind that. Good.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any two SPFL teams with Athletic in their name.
Alloa. Dunfermline.
In what year did Anthony Stokes arrive at Celtic and Alexei Eremenko at Kilmarnock on deadline day?
2010.
What animal is on the Ross County club crest?
A stag.
Which side play at 80 Firhill Road?
Partick Thistle.
Excluding caretakers, who was the shortest serving Rangers manager?
Kashina.
Shaden Morris has moved from Aberdeen to
Luton.
Which club? Who were the last side outside the top flight to play in a Scottish Cup final?
Carly Thistle.
Okay. What do you think, Stuart?
He's absolutely done me.
He's absolutely done me. Oh, I'd like to pretend that it might not be the case, but he did. He sounded confident. Let's work our way through them. Name any two SPFL teams with Athletic in their name. You had the choice of Alloa, Dunfermline, Forfar or Annan. So Roger gets it. He pulls level. That's his minus one wiped out. I thought this question was extremely hard because I thought who out there, what sad act out there would know off the top of their head the year that Anthony Stokes and Alexei Eremenko signed this sad act over here. 2010. Well done. 2-0 to Roger Hanna. Well, minus the one. What animal is on the Ross County club crest? A stag. I would accept a deer. I'd be generous. That's fine. So you did get one on the board, Stuart. That makes me feel better. We know it's not going to be a zero. Which side play at 80 Firhill Road? It's no Motherwell, Stuart. That's Fir Park you're
Mark
thinking
Wilson's
of.
Partick
Mark
Thistle.
Wilson's. Oh, it's Mark
this
Wilson's
next one's a terrible answer for you.
Excluding caretakers, who was the shortest serving Rangers manager?
Sorry, it's not a terrible. I thought it said including caretakers.
No, excluding. It is Kashinya. Roger Hanna gets it. And Stuart, you're done by this point. I had lost count, but I know Roger Hanna's winning. Would we agree with that?
Yeah,
I think so. 5-1. Well, it's a 4-1. Take off your one. Shaden Morris has moved from Aberdeen to Luton. The last side outside the top flight to play in a Scottish Cup final was Inverness. Going for the 10.
Oh,
you got a 10 already this season?
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of multiple 10s in a season. Pathetic, right? Let's give it a go. Scotland, too easy. He's going to squish these. Scotland international Ryan Jack plays his football in which country currently?
Turkey.
Well, until today, maybe.
Yeah.
Who were Scotland's last opponents at a men's World Cup?
Morocco.
And for the 10, true or false, Adam Ida was a Swansea Youth Academy player?
That's a great question.
Attention.
This is
my
now,
palms are sweating.
This is now going to be a guess. I'm going to say no.
Say false.
Yeah.
It is false.
Oh!
Now, I'm not clapping that. We can't have two tens already. Week five of the season. This is a joke. Get
he's
him
a master.
Back. He's a what?
He's a master.
A master. Get him back on minus two. You can't whinge and moan all season about minus one, then get reinstated, and you've had two tens in the space of, what, 3 weeks?
Lucky.
Nah, honestly, that's ridiculous. Stuart, I mean, it didn't go well for you. You don't need me to tell you that. But he was clearly going to be hard to beat in that form anyway, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Good man, sure. Nice to speak to you. Have a good night. That was Stuart.
You still got that coin?
In Clarkson, I know. Have you seen it? Have you seen the fancy wee display case? It comes in as well.
Nice. Oh, that's good.
I can't give them away.
I want one of these.
Listen, you might be able to take 15 because we're not giving any away yet.
Well, if
anyway.
You get three tens, surely you get one.
Yeah, like a hat-trick ball sort
of
thing.
It's got to be.
Okay.
I feel like this might be a silly question. You ever scored a hat-trick? Any hat-trick balls? I know. I don't know why I asked that. A
few doubles.
Have you?
Okay. But you get nothing for that.
Edinburgh Derby double.
Double against Hibs. I was there. I saw it.
Double against Motherwell.
Who was that for?
Hearts.
Oh, I was there. Remember, I had to interview you after the game. Absolutely right. Sick of the sight of you that day. Would you take an Edinburgh Derby double over a run-of-the-mill league hat-trick?
No.
No?
No.
Sorry, Hearts fans. I thought you were destined to say yes.
No, I would take the Derby double if I misunderstood that question. I'd take the Derby double
over a hat trick against Kilmarnock.
I'm taking the double,
right?
Derby,
okay, just checking. Darren's a Rangers fan. How are you, Darren?
Hi, Yeah, not bad, mate. How are you guys, panel?
We're all good. What's on your mind?
So the big thing, I suppose, coming out of this game, if you can even call it a game at the weekend, is that there's no consequence of it. You know, and this goes for like my Celtic sporting friends as well. Like Rangers, I would have taken Celtic winning for it to have forced the hand of getting rid of Martin. And also, some Celtic fans that I know would have taken Rangers winning because it would have forced the board to make a move. But we're in a situation where none of that happened. So what's the next move? Like, for example, with Russell Martin, is the next game his pressure game or is the pressure off? It seems to be that that's all just kind of floated away and nobody really knows what's next because it was just that inconsequential a game when it should have been a game with the most insane amount of consequences.
Good question. Where does this leave Russell Martin then? A lot of people were given the big sound bites about if he loses, you just couldn't possibly, I don't care what anyone else says, but he says he's never felt more supported. Andrew Kavanagh came to the training ground on Friday, met everybody. Where does yesterday's result leave Russell Martin?
Well, I think he's already had the sort of vote of confidence that he's going nowhere regardless of what the result was at the weekend anyway. So, again, I've said it numerous times that the results have been poor, the performances have been poor, and you've been looking for some sign of improvement that you can grasp onto. Now, I've referenced that off the ball, Rangers were a lot better, a lot more solid, a better foundation, if you will, to keep a clean sheet. But clearly there's still vast improvements to come. But I must say, I absolutely hate this notion when people say, oh, I'll take losing this game and go 9 points behind in a league title and lose to our closest rivals for somebody to lose their job. I don't believe it for 1 minute that anyone said it, and I can't believe Dan said it.
Guy stopped me in the petrol station on the way in here yesterday to say the same, just as I was picking out my
milkshake for the
show. He was telling me, said I'd rather Rangers lost.
You mentioned that at the top of the show.
Yeah, I'm serious.
Yesterday, yeah.
And it's not a mindset I can ever imagine myself having, you know, each to their own and all that. Like, same question to you, where does it leave Russell Martin? Because, well officially, it leaves him 6 points behind and he was booed by a section, I don't know how many, but he was booed when he went off at the game yesterday.
Chanting in favour of Nico Raskin, who
I never heard that.
Out the team, steady.
You're the only one.
He's in a job. Before the game, I think on Saturday, Andrew Kavanagh was at the training ground to address the players and to address the management. The 49ers, the owners of the club, are standing square behind Russell Martin. And it's now up to Russell Martin to prove they can turn this tanker, as he said himself, turn it around.
Do you think he can?
There has been little evidence so far to suggest that he can, but he has made big play that things will be different after the transfer window closes. He felt there were players at the club, and I presume he's talking Higaman and Dessers and Cortez and people like that, who had one foot out the door. They've now got both feet out the door and they're gone. And he wanted more players in, his own players in, players that suited his style. So he's got Mayovsky in, he's getting Chermiti in, it looks as if he's getting Cornelius in, on top of the Moors and the Asgards and the Rothwells and the Jigas, etc., etc. So it's now Russell Martin's team, and Russell Martin will stand or fall by it.
Darren, we had a Rangers fan on earlier trying to take the positives, felt Russell Martin deserved praise for changing things yesterday, thought it was something that could be built on. You don't sound like you necessarily agree with that.
I'm still not hugely convinced by Martin, but the moves that have happened today, there's been enough players go out, you know, for what. And to be fair, someone that we've kind of largely been critical of as a fan base that have gone out, and there's obviously been ones come in. So, in a way, I guess he's kind of getting to put his stamp on the team, and maybe he's earned that sort of benefit of the doubt thing with all the moves that have happened. Don't get me wrong, I think, you know, when you go through an Old Firm game, and no buying this whole Glasgow Derby nonsense, it's an Old Firm, but see, when you don't have anybody really even threatening goal, that's worrying, regardless of progress and transfers or whatever. And that is what's kind of frightening, is that we've been shown nothing like that will be the ruthless Rangers that we need to be.
How do you feel about Rangers about to spend £8 million, potentially rising to 10, on Yusuf Chermiti from Everton? Did you think you'd see the day when Rangers would splash fees like that again so soon?
It's insane, but again, it's money on somebody that
hasn't really got that proven sort of goal-scoring stat against him yet. Yeah, he's got... Is it another one of these sort of Ryan Kent situations where it's an expensive player that we're flinging money at for the grandstand types thing of it, or is it an investment in potential? Who knows? But you've got other players out there you probably could have got for the same sort of money or less that have probably got a bit more of a goal-scoring calibre about them.
Andy, what's your take? I've been interested to hear your thoughts on this, because like every signing, we've no idea. He might come and be an absolute sensation, but it's a heck of a lot of money for Rangers.
Yeah, well, listen, you never know what a signing is going to be until you obviously watch him play for a few months and see what his record is and see how he does. And if Rangers are spending £8 million for a striker, it should be a cause for a celebration. There should be a lot of excitement behind it. But given that Youssef Chermiti has scored 3 career goals, Everton have spent in the excess of £12 million for him. He's played 24 games for the club, sorry, and not registered one goal or assist. I can't for the life of me understand why Rangers are then spending £8 million for someone with that track record. There has to have been a more obvious target for that amount of money. Now, Kevin Fairwell obviously has previous, you know, he was the one that took him down to Everton and obviously seen a lot within him with his short spell at Sporting Lisbon before he got his move. But to spend your second ever highest transfer fee on a player with that track record, I think is extremely, extremely risky.
But at the same time, Roger, you could say they're all risky. Kevin Thirlwell and Dan Purdy and those at the club will have to live and die by this. They clearly feel he is worth it, having worked with him before. Only time will tell if he turns out to be any good or not. But is it a sign at least then of real intent from Rangers?
Yeah, of course it is. And listen, before a Rangers fan comes on and says, well, he was cheaper than Adebida, we just have to wait and see. I think Russell Martin was right to get Dessers and Egerman out the door because he didn't want to be there. Egerman was itching to get a move to League One, and he got it, and he scored a couple of goals at the weekend. Dessers wasn't stamping his foot, but I think he had made it clear that he saw this move to Greece as the last big sort of payday of his career and was quite keen to grasp it. So he's gone. If you take out the two strikers, you need two strikers in. I like Miovsky. I thought Miovsky was a good player at Aberdeen. It's no shame that he couldn't quite cut it in the top league in Spain. So he's now back. They've got him for less than Girona paid Aberdeen to get him, and he'll score goals. Chermiti, I don't know anything about. And anyone who phones the show and says they do, they're kidding you on, Gordon. But Kevin Thirlwell knows about him, and this is Kevin Thirlwell putting his reputation on the line. If this goes wrong, people won't blame Russell Martin for it. It's clear Kevin Thirlwell signed them for Everton. He's now taking them from Everton. He clearly thinks the player's worth the money. It's now up to the lad to prove Kevin Thirlwell right.
Thank you to Darren. Let's cross back to our reporter Andrew McLean, who's keeping a closer eye on all the transfers while we do daft things like play Beat the Pundit. Andrew, is that one done yet? Is there anything you can tell us?
Yeah, on Youssef Chermiti, there is no official confirmation from Rangers yet. Still waiting on that one, but he has completed his medical. All the relevant paperwork is done, so it is just a matter of time. You'd expect that Rangers will put out that post on social media and confirm that they are making their biggest signing in terms of transfer fee for 25 years. We're expecting that there's also going to be confirmation of Derek Cornelius, the Marseille centre-back, Canadian international defender, coming in as well. So waiting for that one to be announced, along with Celtic getting winger Sebastian Tonetke. That looks as if it should go through tonight after agreeing a fee of around £5.2 million. Still no clear idea of who the replacement for Adamida is going to be, because Brendan Rodgers, you remember, he said Adamida will only be allowed to leave Celtic if they get a replacement in the door. Well, we've not seen the replacement yet, and I'll be interested to see if Celtic manage to get that over the line before 11 o'clock tonight.
Looking forward to finding out. 0141 951 1025. Give us a call. We'll speak to you next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Roger Hannah are here on Transfer Deadline Day, also the day to look back on the game at Ibrox between Rangers and Celtic yesterday. We had other big games yesterday, some big ones on Saturday. There is so much to get through, but It's up to you. What do you want to discuss? 01419511025. A good full-time teaser from Ewan in Dumbarton. Can you name the last 10 players to sign for Rangers who had previously scored against them? The last 10 players to score for Rangers who had previously scored against them. Thank you again to Ewan in Dumbarton. Last 10 players to sign for Rangers who'd previously scored against them. Yeah. Hold on, fulltime@clyde1.com is the email for that. So thanks again to Ewan. Did you get any?
Bojan Miovski.
Yes, well done.
Cholak.
Yep. Oh, any others?
Kenny Miller.
No.
So they must all be after Kenny Miller.
Yeah.
Leo Cameron or Conor Barron?
Which one?
Leo Cameron.
No.
Conor Barron?
Apparently, yes. I don't remember, Conor Barron goal. But
I actually don't remember that either.
Right, let's bring in Andy, who's on the line. Take it away, Andy.
How you doing, guys? All right?
Yeah, good.
Andy. Good. Less said about yesterday, the better. I was saying to Prue here, but I was listening to
the show was not bad, Andy.
No, I'm just listening to Andy and yourself, Roger, but we're signing this £8 million striker who just heard Andy saying you've done but virtually nothing. And I'm letting you said he'd disadvantage to go, but he'll get us go. I don't think he did want to go. I just don't know why Rangers just said, no, I'm going to up your contract and we'll keep you for at least another season. Because he's going to, 25 goals. And if this young boy comes in and he can't handle it, £8-10 million is a lot of money.
Like, I think every signing the Roger is a risk. He might be brilliant. He might be, and Kevin Thirlwell clearly thinks he's seen something. I do understand where Andy's coming from, because Dessers has he been forgotten about a bit, right? Like, I know that he's maligned at times. There was misses last season. He became a real divisive figure for the Rangers fans, but he still scores a lot of goals.
Top scorer in the Premiership last season, wasn't he? As predicted by Gordon Dale on this very show.
Are you guaranteed that Miovski's better than Dessers?
No, you're not guaranteed anything in life.
Do you think he will be?
I like Miovski. Miovski's younger than Dessers. He knows the league. He's scored in the league. I think Miovski will be fine. Big picture, Dessers and Egerman wanted away. It's a season of change, a summer of change at Rangers. They wanted, for different reasons, they wanted to pursue other career goals. Rangers then need two strikers. They get Miovski, who's one that we know. He knows the league. He can score goals in the league. He showed in flashes yesterday, and just throwing straight in. I was actually quite surprised he was throwing straight in, but he was. Early on, that run into the box, you know, when he clashed with Scales, showed that he's alert. He can cause people problems. And Chermiti, Rangers fans will need to put faith in Kevin Thirlwell that he's called this one right. Sometimes unfair, you know, we speak in this show almost every night, £11 million Arne Engels, £9 million Adam Eder. The players don't decide the transfer fees. And sometimes I think Adam Eder was overburdened by the fact Celtic paid so much for him. You would have to hope that Yusuf Chermiti isn't overburdened by the fact that he's the second costliest player in Rangers history.
And Andy, we don't know, because this didn't happen at Celtic. Adam Eder cost £9 million, but Kyogo is the number one striker. Can Bojan Miovski be the number one striker over a guy that costs £8 to £10 million?
No.
But why not if it happened at Celtic?
Well, I would argue that at last season, in Arne Engels' case, I thought he had a poor stretch of games but continued to play because of his transfer fee. And I think if you're spending an outlay at £8 million, like we've touched on, the second highest transfer fee that Rangers have ever paid for a player, he must play. He must be a guaranteed starter. So I think there's no doubt whatsoever that he's coming in to be the number nine for Rangers. Again, I've got my reservations. I think you can have a reservation, like he says, of any signing, so it remains to be seen whether he's going to be a value for money or not. But I just look at Dessers, Egerman, both leaving the club. Obviously, it remains to be seen if they've replaced two players with better.
Egerman shaked off that quad injury quickly, didn't he? Was it just the two goals he got on his debut at the weekend?
Well, listen, we had our doubts about his injury last week when we spoke on the show, didn't we? And he looked pretty fit with his contribution.
I did like the line in Friday from Russell Martin when he was asked about, you know, Igamani's state, and he said, I think he'll pass the medical.
He certainly did.
What do you make of Dessers then? We've spoke about him so many times. I'll miss him for that, if nothing else. He's actually not officially gone yet, but it was Russell Martin yesterday who said he's played his last game for the club. Mm-hmm. I think Panathinaikos were possibly in the driving seat, AKA Athens had been long term admirers.
I think up until yesterday at 11:45 before the game kicked off, I still think Cyril Dessers is Rangers' best striker and was Rangers' best striker. 25 goals last year, 25 goals the year before, last season's SPL top goal scorer, much maligned as we all know. And I'll hold my hands up. I'm saying I thought he was Rangers' best striker, but I felt as if Rangers needed better at the top end of the pitch if they were to win the league title this year. Now, they've certainly tried that. They brought in Miosky, who's got a great track record in Scotland, and they're spending a huge outlay on who's got, obviously, intends to replace Cyril Dessers. So Chimitti's got a lot on his shoulders. He's replacing a guy that was a top scorer in the league last year, and he's got that £8 million price tag.
Our attention's been pointed to the top end of the pitch. Any thoughts on Derek Cornelius, apart from the fact that doesn't sound like a footballer's name? I won't hold that against him, but he's going to come in tonight.
All we can go off, you know, we're not seeing these players, all we can go off is their CV, their track record. I think it's an exciting one. I think it's an area of the field where Rangers are really short. They've obviously only got three decent centre-halves at the club, none being left-footed. So gives that balance to the back four. And I think if you look, you know, he was at Malmo for 3 years. His centre-half partnership during that time was Anil Amedzovic, who got signed for Sheffield United, has just went to Feyenoord for £10 million. Plays every week, does extremely well for them, and earns a move to one of the top five leagues in one of the big clubs in Marseille. Now, again, it's not one of these ones where he's went to Marseille, he's had 2 years of injuries, he's not played, and Rangers are trying to rediscover his form. He played over 20 games for Marseille last year. He played for Marseille at the weekend. So it was a player that was still in the frame at Marseille. So I think that's on paper, a really positive signing. And let's not forget who Marseille's manager is De Zerbi. So he'll be used to this building up for the back and really...
Do Rangers do that, do they?
Ever so slightly.
You may have heard on the show.
So I think that's a profile that fits the bill perfectly.
Okay, thank you, Andy. What about Jamie on the other line? How are you, Jamie?
Not bad.
What have you got for us?
I've just a couple of points. One about... That yesterday with Rangers, that performance, Sydney bringing in the concrete jersey, convinced us that things are going to change. His full system changed altogether to this system that he's going to stick to. It doesn't work, and it didn't work yesterday either. It's just the way he conducts himself and interviews and that. He's not a Rangers manager. And just another point before.
Mm-hmm.
Just the Nico Raskin thing.
Yep.
There's obviously an issue there, because Neil McCann pointed out yesterday as well, and his commentary said that it was like they hit them and they bought his heads as well. Can I mean, so if he's not going to play with the manager once in a day, you can't be at the club. Can I mean, because if you go in a job, you can't tell a manager, oh, you're not going to do that job, but the manager's telling you today. Can I mean? It doesn't work.
Well, it's an interesting one, Andy. Let's look at the quick time frame over even just the last few days. Nico Raskin is apparently still training with the group ahead of the game against Celtic. It becomes very clear that actually Russell Martin was trying to be a bit cute and that he might have trained, but not with the first team. It then comes out yesterday, obviously he's been left out entirely from the squad. Fast forward to today, and the reports are that he wants to stay beyond the end of the window. He was on Wolves' radar, but they've not got any room for any non-homegrown players, etc. What have you made of it, and what do you think happens next?
Listen, I think it's been a really strange situation, and one that's almost difficult to give your opinion on, because you know a lot of it is speculation. Russell Martin's been extremely coy in his remarks regarding it, but for me, there seems to be some form of fallout, whether that's been directly between the player and the manager, or that's been because the player is now aware of potential suitors elsewhere. So one thing I can't understand is, if you have Nico Raskin at the weekend, why he is not playing in that game at the weekend, because for me, he's your best player. For me, he's been the standout performer in the Old Firm derbies for the last three games. So for me, that then tells me a story that something's going on behind the scenes. There has to be some form of disagreement between player and manager. And listen, disagreements between players and managers happen all the time, but it doesn't tend to result in I'm being banished from a squad 2 days before a transfer window ends. and then the player mm-hmm. stays at the club past the window. So I really hope there's some form of clarity if Nico Raskin is to remain a Rangers player, because one thing's for sure, if he's still a Rangers player at the end of the window, he cannot not be in a squad for the next 6 months.
Yeah, listen, a unique situation, far from it. Players and managers, like people in any workplace, sometimes don't see eye to eye. The best managers manage to manage the player, if that makes sense, Gordon. I'll take you back 20 years. Gordon Strachan and Aidan McGeady didn't have a great relationship. It came to a head, and Aidan McGeady faced a club suspension of 2 games, including an Old Firm game at Christmas when Koki Mizuno played for Celtic at Ibrox. And Aidan McGeady wasn't sold. You know, he came back into the fold and played in many crucial performances for Celtic. If, and I expect this to be the case, Nico Raskin stays at Rangers beyond 11 o'clock tonight, the Kevin Thirlwell and the Rangers hierarchy will need to broker some variety of peace pact between Russell Martin and Nico Raskin, because a player of the quality of Raskin cannot just sit at the training ground while his teammates are playing football. It's not good for anyone.
Okay, thank you very much to Jamie. Send us your thoughts on that topic and any others. 0141 951 1025. We'll do a quick look at some of the weekend's talking points briefly if you want to mention them. I know they're not getting a look in with the transfers. What about the Steelmen, Andy Halliday? Another good performance. Another draw. Another failure to win.
We've said over the last sort of 4 Mondays. Again, I thought first half was a wee bit more than the balance. We had loads of control of the ball, but Kilmarnock, to be fair, them did look dangerous when they stole the ball a couple of times and counter-attacked. But I think the real frustration comes for a really positive second half performance, getting your nose in front, leading the game 2-1, to then obviously throw it away towards the end of the game. And do you know what, Gordon? I was saying this today. I genuinely think we should be 12 points for 12 just now. That such has been the performances in the games. I felt we deserved to win every single one of them. But the fact of the matter is we've not, and obviously that's 4 consecutive draws, but still loads of confidence, still loads of belief in what we're doing, and eventually these performances are going to turn into wins.
You were there, Roger. Yeah, Andy can't say it, obviously. Look, it's a goalkeeping mistake, and that's what costs.
He didn't so much throw it away as drop it.
Motherwell game. He's given us the no comment. But
that's 2 weeks running. I know the manager prefers Callum Ward because he's better with the ball at his feet. You need a goalie who's better with the ball in his hands.
Anyway, anything else? Falkirk getting their first win since 2010.
Yeah, first in 15 years, aye. Kyrell Wilson, straight for a world snooker to playing for Falkirk. Terrific.
Does Aberdeen being bottom on 0 points, is that concern? Is that real pressure on Jimmy Tilleen? Or do you have to look at yesterday being a game that they were in the ascendancy until they get a man sent off?
I'm absolutely furious with myself because I spent a bit of time today squirreling down my statistics about Aberdeen and then I forgot them. They've lost 7 straight league games.
They've won 5 in the last 30. They've scored 0 goals.
Yeah.
Trying to help you out.
See, this guy doesn't need to write stats down.
They've won 9 league games in 10 months. They won 9 league games at the start of last season. Since November the 9th last year, they've won 9 league games. Kasper Schmeichel's own goal at Hampden has saved Jimmy Telling's job. Because if Aberdeen hadn't won the Scottish Cup, he would be away by now.
Was that a red card for you, Nicky Devlin?
Yes.
Any doubt?
No, none. None.
Thought we're getting a good referee in the debate.
And he knows it himself. He spoke after the game. I think he's interviewing tomorrow's papers. He knows.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Trying to get a bit of refereeing debate. We're lacking. Yeah. They're getting most
I would actually
things.
Try, the funny thing is I would actually try and defend him a wee bit more if he was facing the other way and he was actually clearing the ball upfield and it was a follow through. But he's actually facing his own goal. Like, there's no need for him to go in with the force that he does.
Okay. And what about this teaser then? Can you name the last 10 players to sign for Rangers who'd previously scored against them? Miovski, Barron, Cholak.
Scott Wright.
Nope.
Greg Stewart.
Yes.
Jordan Jones.
Yes.
Borna Barisic.
Yes. We'll get the rest and more of your calls and our final transfer update when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
The Pundit Predictor with McNair's Building Supplies. Try McNair's for your next building, roofing or gardening project.
Do you think you've got superior predicting skills? compared to our pundits. Surely most of you do, because they're hopeless. Well, you can prove it every Friday, because the Pundit Predictor is back. You just guess the outcome of three SPFL games and you could win cash. On Friday, Kevin was only able to get one out of three. He did predict Dundee United would win the derby, but he also said Celtic and Motherwell would win, so he lost out on £200. The good news for you is we add another £100 now, meaning £300 in the pot this Friday. Every Friday night on Clyde One Super Scoreboard, we'll do this thanks to McNair's Building Supplies. Did you like the Dundee derby yesterday?
Yeah.
Better than the Glasgow version, wasn't it?
It was the best at the other ones I watched.
Comfortable though?
Yeah, almost too comfortable.
Think so?
Dundee being the home side, expecting them a wee bit more in the ascendancy in such a big game. 14 derby debutants yesterday. It's, 8 for Dundee United, 6 for Dundee. Dundee United's debutants that certainly handled the occasion better.
I don't know what Dundee might announce 8 players at 10 to 11 tonight. I think Dundee needed to do business today, because that squad we saw yesterday will struggle this season.
Yeah, on the Kevin Friday and the Pundit Predictor couldn't get the Motherwell result either. We spoke about your team, Andy. I just wanted to get your reaction to potentially a new teammate, Stephen Welsh, is going to come in. What do you make of that signing?
Yeah, good signing. Obviously, played games for Celtic, had a couple of loan spells where he's done extremely well. I think that's an area where we feel as if we've been a wee bit short. Obviously, only three recognised centre-halves within the squad. So, yeah, delighted to have him on board if it gets announced.
Okay, we're going to speak to Aidan in a second. Do you know what? We'll do Aidan first and we'll give Andrew McLean the big build-up to send us off with hopefully a couple of updates. You never know, we might get some breaking news in the next couple of minutes. Let's go Aidan first. Aidan, as a Celtic fan, how are you feeling now on transfer deadline day with 3 and a bit hours to go?
All right, guys. Not feeling great, to be honest. The news doesn't look very good, so been a wee bit annoyed with how things have went. I think you could describe it as negligible, to be honest.
Did you expect this, Aidan? Because I know Celtic have had a bit of criticism over the window. Were you one of those that thought, surely we'll pull something out the bag at the last minute? Or did you fear this was the reality?
Well, I don't know if I could say that I expected it, but Celtic have got history of doing this. You know, this is the way it seems to go. We always wait to deadline day to do our business. And when you take that risk, you just don't know if it's going to pay off or not. And at the moment, they're scrambling. So, I mean, it's something that has to be looked at in that perspective. Yeah.
I said it earlier, Roger. I think I said it earlier. Forgive me from repeating myself. There's one thing saying, we always do this, we always leave it to deadline day. I feel like with the Ida situation, the Yang situation, and what's gone before, this feels different level.
Yeah, yeah, it does. Without, you know, listen, in the past, I've come on this show and tried to play devil's advocate and defend the Celtic board, because there are times the board have deserved praise for bringing players in for low cost, selling them for high profits, making good decisions on individual transfers at the right time. But last season, at the end of the summer window, they were pushed into paying too much money for players. And the reaction in this summer window has not to be to make that same mistake. But actually, they might end up even worse off, because at least in the last window, they got the players in. You can argue afterwards whether they paid the right sums or not, but they got players in to bolster the squad, a squad that went on to win the League Cup and then win the Championship and do very well in the Champions League. This season, thus far, 4 hours in a window to go, 3 hours and 10 minutes to go, they haven't got the players in. They're not in the Champions League. The supporters are furious, and quite clearly the manager isn't pleased either.
It's a great point, because if Ida had cost 4 million and Ingles had cost 4 million, Andy, we would never be having the discussion we have around them, because they've been fine and they've contributed, and especially in Ingles' case, he's got potential. This is about just no signings yet, really, albeit we know that Tanetke will come in tonight.
Yeah, and you always felt last year, given the nature of how late it was in the transfer window, that Celtic potentially overpaid for the three signings, and that the price tags have almost hanged over their head for their full time. But you're right to say that this situation is worse. And I felt coming in today that Celtic needed another three. I felt they needed three signings, and to be honest, I thought they would get done, and I thought they would get done pretty quickly. We got 3 hours and 10 minutes ago, and they've done none, and they've lost one. They might actually lose another one. And yes, you know, we're hearing that Tanetke could be the next one in the door for Celtic, but still not announced yet. And even if he is, where's the others coming from?
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting night, Aidan. Where does this leave everything then? Look, things might change a bit between now and 11. I think we're all agreed it's unlikely to change loads. You get the game yesterday, there's just a lot going on as a Celtic fan at the moment, it feels.
Yeah, I think just as a Celtic fan, you're looking at it and you're thinking, why is the business taking so long? Why is this seeming to be a pattern where it's been happening for a good few years now? The only time I think it really changed was when Postecoglou first came in. They seemed to be getting business done a bit quicker. But yeah, like right now, it's like it doesn't even feel like they're going for targets. That it's like a scattergun approach. And considering that fans pay money, and there doesn't seem to be any sort of recruitment policy or strategy, it's bewildering, to be honest. And especially as a club that's supposed to have lofty ambitions, and we're talking about going far in Europe. Like, we've consistently seen Celtic fail in Europe, particularly in knockout stages. And then we look at our recruitment strategy, and it's staring us in the face. But it's almost as if, like, it's like someone at the club, or everyone at the club, doesn't see it, apart from maybe the manager who's been calling it out.
Yeah, that's the thing, Roger. This is that bit about being a fly in the wall. And look, you're a journalist in this industry, and you all could try and find out bits and pieces, but there has to be, because Brendan Rodgers will say that there's no breakdown and everyone is pulling in the same direction. He must understand why from the outside that's hard to believe.
Yeah, of course. Now, you'd love to know where the breakdown is, where the blockage is, if you like, and we don't know. You know, are the recruitment department headed by Paul Tisdale not coming up with targets of an adequate quality for the manager? If so, that's a problem. Or are they coming up with targets of an adequate quality, the manager likes them, and the deals can't be done? That would be a problem. Or are they coming up with targets of an adequate quality, the manager likes them, the deals can be done, but the club are just unwilling to pay the money?
Yeah.
That would be a problem. So it's one of the three, Gordon.
Because I've seen it pointed out tonight, that, and you can understand this. Again, someone at the club is more than welcome to tell us it's not as simple as that. You know, you're misrepresenting it. But remind me of the player from Go Ahead Eagles,
Jacob Broom.
So if Celtic now paid for Sebastian Tanetke, what was being asked for him anyway, weeks ago, and presumably, again, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Celtic,
and why
presumably a higher priority target than what they've ended up with.
And why was Ballantyne signed after the Champions League games, not before the Champions League games?
Which was going to be my point. So Jacob Broom was 3 weeks ago when these rumours started, clearly to get him in the door for the Champions League qualifiers, never get done, but then use the same fee for your next target in Ballantyne. And then obviously your third way with tonight.
And I actually think they're correct to sell Ademida. Ademida didn't have a future at Celtic. The sort of Ademida ship had sailed. But I just find it incredible that with 3 hours of the window to go and Brendan complaining they haven't replaced Kyogo, that Ademida was allowed to go before a replacement was in the door.
Right, let's go once more. We'll thank Aidan, he's in the hat, for the tickets to the races as well. Let's go to Andrew in our Transfer Centre HQ. I make the name up every year, I can never quite remember what it is, something like that. Let's go to Andrew and get the latest. Andrew, anything happened, anything confirmed since we last spoke?
No, unfortunately nothing confirmed to bring you, but I will just give you an update on what we expect to happen, what might happen before the deadline at 11 o'clock tonight. Rangers will announce the signing of Youssef Chermiti in a deal worth an initial £8 million, could rise to £10 million, their most expensive signing in 25 years. Derek Cornelius is also set to join him and Rangers from Marseille. The Canadian international is a left-sided centre-back, that will be an initial loan deal. There is potential of Rangers looking at one more in the forward areas tonight. From Celtic, Ademida officially gone. His move to Swansea is complete. So will Brendan Rodgers get the replacement he's demanding? We know it won't be Kasper Dahlberg. It might be David Fatro-Fofana from Chelsea. If it is to be anyone else, it looks like that name will be out the blue because there's not much in the way of rumours at the moment. They should get winger Sebastian Tonecki though. A deal of around £5.2 million for the Tunisian international has been agreed with Hammarby. Elsewhere, still no confirmation of Stephen Welsh's loan move to Motherwell, but that one will go through tonight. There's also two Scotland international strikers to look out for. Kevin Nisbet looks like he's returning to Aberdeen in a permanent deal, while Lyndon Dykes is a loan target for Hibs. The window is now shut in England. Maybe that means some extra movement from south of the border before our deadline, which is at 11 o'clock in just over 3 hours' time.
Thank you very much to Andrew. Keep an eye on the social feeds at Clyde SSB for all the latest news as the window comes to a close later. Lyndon Dykes to Hibs alongside likes of Kieran Bowie, Martin Boyle.
So does that mean then, if they've got £1 million, and Lyndon Dykes, does that mean they can sell Kieran Bowie to Celtic?
Good one. I don't see it happening, but interesting stuff. Right, finish off the teaser for me if you can. The last 10 players to sign for Rangers having previously scored against them: Miovski, Barron, Colak, Jones, Stewart, Barisic.
Kyle Lafferty.
Yes, because he went to Hearts in between, didn't he, and then back, so yep.
Florian Kamberi.
Oh, nice one, well done.
I've actually just thought of another one. It's a cracker.
I'll decide, thank you.
Go with your, I like that.
Brandon Barker.
No.
Oh, no, go with your man there, go with him.
Jason Cummins.
Yes.
Christopher Firmino.
No, we're going quite far back to when he would have scored against Rangers.
John Daly.
A three each in 2010. He is a former teammate of yours, Andy.
Stephen A. Smith.
Nope.
A three each.
Scored against them. I saved the best till last. Scored against Rangers for the Steel Men.
He went to Rangers.
Finished. No, he's not finished. He came to Rangers, sorry, but after Sheffield United and Brighton.
Jamie Murphy.
Thank you, Roger and Andy. Like I said, keep your eyes peeled at Clyde SSB for all the breaking transfer news this evening. And then tomorrow, whatever happens, we will go over it all. I've got a funny feeling there are going to be some strong reactions to the business done on transfer deadline day. You will not want to miss it. 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Monday.